Welcome to Doers of the Word with David Middleton, pastor of Jesus' Lord Outreach Center in Phoenix, Arizona. This radio program will teach you the practical knowledge of the Word of God and give answers to your questions about the problems in your life so that you can live in victory. Open your heart and mind as Pastor Middleton shares the uncompromised Word with you today.
Praise the Lord. Glad to be with you on the radio broadcast. This is David Middleton welcoming you to the Doers of the Word radio program, where we're teaching you the uncompromised Word of God. Today we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit. Regarding the subject of the Holy Spirit, the doctrinal teaching that is out there on the Holy Spirit, there is great disunity and disagreement and conflicted teachings that come forth in the body of Christ. That is not, of course, what God wants. Now, there are two basic beliefs that you see out there regarding the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. One, there are those that believe that when one receives Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, that he receives the Holy Spirit within the person at that time. These people also believe that there's no further baptism, receiving, or indwelling of the Holy Spirit. They firmly believe they get the person the Holy Spirit at the point of salvation, and they believe that the baptism of the Holy Spirit occurred at the new birth, and they reject any further baptism of the Holy Spirit. Then there's another group that believes that once you're born again, that then you are to be baptized with the Holy Spirit, that this baptism of the Holy Spirit is subsequent to or following salvation. They'll say that you're born again first, and then that you are to be baptized with the Holy Spirit, and this term is used interchangeably with many other terms to describe the same experience. The most common terms are baptism of the Holy Spirit, being filled with the Holy Spirit, receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit, receiving the fullness of the Spirit, receiving the infilling of the Spirit, receiving the indwelling of the Spirit, all different types of terms. Being baptized, receiving, or filling the Holy Spirit, all these terms are describing the same experience subsequent to salvation that they believe that the person is to receive. And among those, there's lots of different varying teachings as far as what you got when you're born again, whether you got the Holy Spirit or whether you didn't. But they're pretty unified on the fact that you are to have this secondary experience. Commonly, the predominant term is baptism with the Holy Spirit. So therefore, we see this great dissension, confusion in the body of Christ over doctrine concerning the Holy Spirit. Now, we know that God's not the author of confusion, and that there's only one truth concerning the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. That means that many are obviously wrong, and possibly someone is right, or possibly all of them are wrong in their doctrinal position regarding the Holy Spirit. What is the source of truth? It is the Word of God. In John 17:17, he says, "Thy Word is truth." Since the Word is the truth, then we need to study all the Scriptures regarding the Holy Spirit. Who's going to reveal the truth to us? The Holy Spirit will. John 16:13 says that the Holy Spirit will guide us into all truth. All truth means that he will bring us into the truth regarding the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. Now, why is there no uniformity of doctrinal belief among all Christians regarding teaching concerning the Holy Spirit? It's because, obviously, the truth has not been discovered by the whole body of Christ yet. And so this is important that we get the truth. Now, how can we find this out? I sought the Lord years ago when I first began to enter into ministry, and I knew the responsibility of every person who teaches the Word. They got to be sure that they're teaching things that are accurate. And so as I sought the Lord about how to approach this, what he put into me was this, that I am to study all the Scriptures on a particular subject, study all the Scriptures on the Holy Spirit, as if I knew nothing on the subject without any preconceived notions regarding the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. When you study without any preconceived notions or beliefs, that's the key to be in a position to receive revelation. Because if you try to study something to try to fit it into your doctrinal belief, then you're approaching it from already a certain slant or certain belief, and you're not open to revelation. And as I studied the Word, the Lord showed me that I should just believe the Scriptures and know that every Scripture is a truth, and it is the truth, and that as I study those Scriptures, believe them, the Holy Spirit would bring revelation, and that all these things would fit together and he would unfold the truth. As I began to study the Word, the Lord revealed to me a very important truth, and that is that there is a difference between the baptism, receiving, and filling of the Holy Spirit. And that's what we're going to be talking about, this important understanding. Once you get this understanding, it's going to answer all your questions about the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. Now let's begin by talking about the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit was with men and women and came upon them, but never resided within them. After the tabernacle was erected, God dwelt in tables made with hands. He didn't dwell in man because man was, of course, spiritually separated from God. Man's spirit was not right with God. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit could come upon man, anointing him to fulfill the certain offices of ministry, such as the prophet or the priest or the king, and he would anoint man under the Old Covenant to do mighty acts of service to accomplish the will of the Lord. We see an example in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 13, where Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So the Spirit of the Lord that came upon him to carry out the ministry as the king. We see in Judges where the Spirit of the Lord came upon Samson in order that he might do mighty acts and overcome his enemies. We see in Judges chapter 14, verse 5 and 6 and verse 19, where the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. And then he went down to Ashkelon and slew 30 men of them and took their spoil. We see it again in Judges chapter 15 and verse 14 and 15, where the Philistines were shouting against him, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and the cords that were upon his arms became as flax that was burnt with fire, and his bands loosed from off his hands. It was all by the working of the Spirit of the Lord. Now, in Numbers chapter 11, verse 25, we see something else about the work of the Holy Spirit. It says, the Spirit that was upon Moses was given to the 70 elders so that they could help minister to the people. And it says in Numbers 11, 25, the Lord came down in a cloud, spake unto him, and took of the Spirit that was upon him. Notice it wasn't in him, but was upon him, and gave it unto the 70 elders. And it came to pass, when the Spirit rested upon them, they prophesied and did not cease. Now in Exodus chapter 31, we see in verse 2 to 5 some important scriptures. Here's where we see the Word of God stating that a man was filled with the Spirit of God. This is the first place recorded in the Bible where a man was filled with the Spirit of God. That's significant because the filling of the Spirit of God occurred in the Old Testament period as well as in the New Testament. Exodus 31, verse 2. See, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, the tribe of Judah, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God. He was filled with the Spirit of God, in wisdom and understanding, knowledge and all manner of workmanship. And what was he doing? He was doing the workmanship of constructing the tabernacle. So being filled with the Spirit of God doesn't mean that the Holy Spirit's dwelling or residing in a person, because, of course, Bezalel couldn't have the Holy Spirit in him. Nobody could have the Holy Spirit dwelling in him until after Jesus redeemed mankind through the cross and resurrection, of course. So we see right off the bat there's a difference between filled with the Holy Spirit and having the Holy Spirit residing within a person. We see in the Old Testament men and women could be filled with the Holy Spirit even when not born again. And the filling of the Holy Spirit was always to do the work of God. It always involved service unto God. In Luke chapter 1, we see in verse 13, the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer's heard. Thy wife Elizabeth shall bear a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. And he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. And he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. Notice that phrase, filled with the Holy Ghost. John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb, and the filling of the Holy Spirit was the anointing that was upon him to carry out the ministry of the prophet. And of course, this filling of the Spirit occurred before Jesus came into the earth. Again, that shows you the filling of the Spirit occurring in the Old Testament era. In Luke chapter 1, verse 41 and 42, came to pass when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And so here we see, she was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she began to prophesy out. In Luke chapter 1, verse 67, we see this again. Verse 67, his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost, prophesied concerning John the Baptist's ministry. All these cases of being filled with the Holy Spirit occurred before Jesus went to the cross to redeem mankind. Now, there were prophecies about the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament. In Joel chapter 2, verse 28 and 29, it shall come to pass afterward that I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy, your old men will dream dreams, your young men will see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my spirit. This initial outpouring of the Holy Spirit that Joel prophesied came to pass on the day of Pentecost. Remember, Peter declared this truth in his sermon on the day of Pentecost, Acts 2, verse 14 to 18, where he stood up and he began to declare that this was, in verse 16, this was that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it came to pass in the last days, saith God, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaids I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. Now what Peter is talking about here, which is the fulfillment of what Joel had prophesied, this is the Holy Spirit being poured out. This is going to happen on the day of Pentecost to bring forth a change in mankind, to come back into relationship with God. In Ezekiel chapter 36, in verse 26 and 27, important prophecy by Ezekiel, it says in verse 26, "A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I'll give you an heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them." Ezekiel prophesied of a new spirit and a new heart to come to man. And he said that God would put my spirit within him. So we see three different things spoken of: a new spirit, a new heart, and my spirit. Notice the clear difference between the "a new spirit" in verse 26 and the "my spirit" in verse 27. The "a new spirit" is a prophecy of what would happen at the new birth, which is receiving Jesus Christ as personal Lord and Savior, where we're a new creation in Christ. That's what happens when one receives Jesus Christ as personal Lord and Savior. The "my spirit" is the Holy Spirit. This will be seen later when we examine the teaching of Jesus, look at the Word of God specifically about the baptism, receiving, and filling of the Holy Spirit. But you're going to see that there's a difference between the new creation in Christ, which is the "a new spirit," and the Holy Spirit, which is the "my spirit." So in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit was with men and women, came upon them in the Old Testament. They were filled with the Holy Spirit during that period. The purpose of the filling was to anoint them for service to God and do the mighty acts of power. Prophets, they prophesied of the initial outpouring of the Holy Spirit fulfilled on the day of Pentecost. They prophesied of the change to come to man by receiving a new spirit and a new heart, and my spirit to cause them to walk in his statutes and keep his judgments and do them. Well, we've begun this, and I hope that you will be listening every day, because we're going to be talking about very important principles that you must understand to understand the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. As I close today, I have a book available on this subject. The title of the book is The Difference Between Baptism, Receiving, and Filling of the Holy Spirit. If you'd like to get this, it's available for $6, postage paid. Please call 602-279-5212. Again, the book, The Difference Between Baptism, Receiving, and Filling of the Holy Spirit, available for $6, postage paid. To get it, please call 602-279-5212. I want to invite you to Jesus' Lord Outreach Center, where we teach the uncompromised Word of God, scripture after scripture, subject after subject, displaying all of the scriptures by video for you to see. Service times are Sunday at 10 a.m. and 6:30 p.m., and Wednesday at 7. The church is located at 2955 West Fairmount Avenue. For more information, call 602-279-5212. That's 602-279-5212.
We trust you've enjoyed the broadcast today. To purchase books, audios, or videos, please call 1-877-77-DOERS. That's 1-877-773-6377. You can visit our website at www.doersoftheword.org. If this broadcast blesses you, we invite you to become a financial partner so we can take this ministry across the nation. Until we greet you on the next broadcast, may God bless you as you are a consistent doer of the Word of God.